Good morning. Good morning. It's good to be here today. Did you want to say something?
I have to apologize to the camera for thinking there was a misunderstanding between me and Maxine.
Oh.
They didn't get filled.
That's fine.
I just want y'all forgiveness.
You got it.
All right, we're gonna
you got it. Yeah. Not really. Happy New Year for the church here. It's the beginning of Advent. So let us begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our help is in the name of the Lord. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? Since we are gathered to hear God's word, call upon him in prayer and praise, and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar. Let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ and saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Almighty God, have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for us, and for his sake forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained servant of the Word, and by the authority of my Lord Jesus Christ, I therefore forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Behold, your King is coming to you. To you, O Lord. O my God, in you I trust, let not me be put to shame. Indeed, none who wait for you shall be put to shame. Glory be to the Father and to the Son, as it was in the beginning, behold, your King is coming to you. I should have announced there's no glory in Patre in the, during Advent. I know. There's no glory of Patre during Advent. Huh? No, I'm telling you. No glory of Patre during Advent. That's the rules. It says so in my book. Yeah, see, trust your pastor. Oh.
So where are we now?
We're at the Lord be with you.
And
let us pray. Stir up your power, O Lord, and come that by your protection We may be rescued from the threatening perils of our sins and saved by your mighty deliverance. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. The Old Testament reading for this morning, the first Sunday in Advent, is taken from Isaiah chapter 64, beginning with verse 1. Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains might quake at your presence. As when the fire kindles brushwood and the fire causes water to boil, to make your name known to your adversaries, and that the nations might tremble at your presence. When you did awesome things that we did not look for, you came down the mountain, quaked at your presence. From of old no one has heard or perceived by the ear, no eye has seen a God besides you who acts for those who wait for him. You meet him who joyfully works righteousness, those who remember you in your ways. Behold, you were angry and we sinned. In our sins we have been a long time, and shall we be saved? We have all become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a polluted garment. We all fade like a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, take us away. There is no one who calls upon your name, who rouses himself to take hold of you, for you have hidden your face from us and have made us melt in the hand of our iniquities. But now, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are our potter. We are all the work of your hand. Be not so terribly angry, O Lord, and remember not iniquity forever. Behold, please look, we are all your people. This is the word of the Lord. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming to you. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. The epistle lesson for this morning is taken from St. Paul's letter to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 1, chapter 1, beginning with verse 3. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that was given you in Christ Jesus, that in every way you were enriched in him in all speech and all knowledge, even as the testimony about Christ was confirmed among you, so that you are not lacking in any spiritual gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will sustain you to the end, guiltless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please rise. the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 11th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When they drew near to Jerusalem, to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the village in front of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find a colt tied on which no one has ever sat. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' say, 'The Lord has need of it and will send it back here immediately.' And they went away and found the colt tied at a door outside in the street, and they untied it. And some of those standing there said to them, 'What are you doing untying the colt?' And they told them what Jesus had said, and they let them go. And they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it. And many spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut from the fields. And those who went before and those who followed were shouting, 'Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest.'" This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise
to you, O Christ. Let us join together in confessing our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. So St. Paul begins this section of Corinthians, the opening part of his letter, with this greeting. Grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know if you notice the number of times that St. Paul mentions Jesus in verses 3 through 9. Did you notice? Every verse, Jesus is mentioned. Jesus is the answer, though, to all of our questions, to all of our needs, and all of our longings. In the Old Testament lesson this morning, we hear from the words of Isaiah in the opening section here of 64, "Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains might quake at your presence, as when fire kindles brushwood, and the fire causes water to boil, so that you can make your name known to your adversaries, and all the nations might tremble at your presence." There's a deep longing there. Isaiah, up to this point, has been pointing to Jesus, the suffering servant. And in that description of the suffering servant is also the description of his victory in the new Jerusalem, that new creation of our Lord's, that is the church. You and I are new in Christ. I guess that's why St. Paul spends so much time at the beginning of this chapter of Corinthians in this speech of his about Jesus Christ. Because, you know, Jesus is the foundation. He is the cornerstone. Without Jesus, there is nothing. Now, we know the situation at Corinth. It wasn't really a good one. But they are children of God. But they're in need of guidance. They are in need of correction. They are in need of being put right and getting their focus on what is right. And that comes by going back to the beginning. It is Jesus Christ who died for you, who made you His child. It is God the Father who reached out through Jesus to bring you salvation. When we consider all that was going on in the church of Corinth, we have to say how amazing God's love and patience is, even when His children kind of wander in the wrong direction. And that's perhaps being gentle, because there was a lot of bad stuff going on in that church. I mean, there were cliques, there were people who were, you know, kind of being show-off, proud. There was sexual immorality going on. There was all kinds of evil that seemed to be taking place. A church splintered. But there are believers there. Not all things are bad. And so I guess we would say St. Paul is addressing them as well as those who are misguided or who are living in open sin by practicing those things that they were at one time taught to avoid. So St. Paul is teaching them. He is the good pastor. He is the one who planted this church. He has great love for these people. He spent a few years in Corinth with these people. He knows them and He loves them. And so He wants them to once again turn to the author and perfecter of their lives, Jesus. So he speaks in such a way, I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that was given to you in Christ Jesus, that in every way you were enriched in him in all speech and all knowledge, even as the testimony about Christ was confirmed among you. Remember how all that took place, church? Remember how that happened? How Christ was confirmed in you by the things that you were able to do in Christ. People could see that in you. They could see that and be drawn to the church. Even in the testimony about, so that you are not lacking in any spiritual gift as you wait for the revealing of your Lord Jesus Christ, who will sustain you to the end, guiltless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. There is promise in these words. It's interesting that St. Paul comes to them with such loving words. Words of redemption, words of God's forgiveness, words of God's faithfulness. Even though they have been unfaithful, yet God remains faithful through Jesus Christ. God will always remember us through Jesus Christ. When we fail to live up to his laws, we are remembered through his Son, Jesus Christ, who was able to keep the law without fail. In standing before the Lord, our Lord Jesus bears the marks of our sins that he carried on the cross with him. And when I say the marks, I am talking about the nails that are imprinted into his hands, the places where the nails were driven, the place in his side where a spear was thrust. Those are the marks of what it took to bring redemption to us. Because we are incapable of acquiring forgiveness for ourselves. All St. Paul is doing is reminding them of that truth in the opening of this letter. He'll get more involved, we know that, in the problems that have been going on, but he's opening this letter with love and hope and encouragement, because God's grace is that for us. It is hope and encouragement in the face of sin. Look at the Old Testament again and recall the things that are written and how God sees our condition and how Isaiah confesses for us the truth of that condition. That we have all of us, no one is without fault. All of us have sinned. All of us are like a filthy rag. We are incapable of being pure without God's redemptive hand. And he provides it. And like I said, Isaiah's already talked about Jesus, that his coming, that suffering servant, would do that which we are not able to do. But he also wants us to know that there is no one who can stand on their own, and that we need to recognize our sinfulness before God and what that means. What that means for us without forgiveness is to be eternally lost. But that is not God's desire. That is the message that Isaiah was given by God, that God desires us to be redeemed. And he will do it through his Son. St. Paul only puts the name to what Isaiah spoke of. It is Jesus Christ. God has done all this through Jesus. He has called you through Jesus. God the Father has done all this. And that's good news for us because we need that good news daily. I don't think there is a morning that we don't need that good news, or an evening when we go to bed that we need to be reminded of that good news. Because without Jesus, we are nothing. Without Jesus, the church cannot stand. Without Jesus, we become like lost sheep once again. But with Jesus always as our focus, then we can keep God's precepts as He has called us to do. We can avoid those things to the best of our ability that cause trouble in the church, schisms in the church, or people to even curse God because of our lives that might be not lives of light, but of darkness. Sometimes the church needs to be called back to walk in that light once again, to deny the things of this world, and to look to Christ, to the Father in heaven, who gives us all good things. When we see trouble about us, we too want to cry out, "Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down." But we don't say it as in the sense of come down and let your wrath fall on those evildoers. No, we don't say that because Christ already came to judge. We heard it in the gospel lesson when Jesus rides into Jerusalem before His crucifixion. We hear the people shouting about His reign, the Son of David, the King. They didn't understand really the meaning of those words, but they would come to understand it. Jesus' reign began with His death on the cross. It would look like Jesus had lost. It would look like all the enemies of Satan, all the enemies of God had won. But we know that that isn't the case. When Isaiah speaks about rending the heavens and coming down, that is going to be an awesome day because Jesus will return in glory and righteousness. And He will come in the heavens, the cosmos, everything will be shaken. The earth will shake. Things will go awry, I guess, in the heavens. It won't be normal. And the whole world will see it together. And the dead will be raised to life. And we will see the saints coming with the Lord in the clouds. For it will be a day of celebration for all of God's people, the day that all of God's people have longed for. But as we wait, we must be diligent for that second coming in our lives, how we live them. Do we live them for the Lord? Is Christ glorified in you? Is He glorified in me, in the things that I do, in the things that you do? Those are good questions to perhaps ask ourselves every day. Am I glorifying my Lord? You know, we understand that He alone is worthy of that glory. He has always been faithful towards us, and He always will be. He will never withdraw His love from us, no matter what we do, no matter how many times we fail. We always have Him there picking us up and encouraging us and telling us of His love. Forgiveness will never be withheld from you when you come to Him with a sincere heart. Look how Isaiah talked about sin and how it affects people's lives. At one point, he talks about having melted away because of the iniquity of my sins. Melted away, and it was God's doing. Not the sinning, but the revelation of what sin does. God wants us to have life in its fullest, to see Him as the one who loves us, who will sustain us, and keep us unto the end. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Offering. All that we have is thine alone. I trust, O Lord, from thee. Amen. Let's join us singing hymn 630. So let's pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. To you, O Lord, we lift up our souls, and in you we put our trust. Do not let us be ashamed of our hope, but come quickly. Sustain us by your Holy Spirit, that we may have joy at the advent of Christ our Savior. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious Lord, enrich your saints in every way as we enter another church year. Encourage the preachers of your word and all who hear the testimony about Christ may be confirmed again among us. Give boldness and faithfulness to our Senate President, our District President, our Circuit Visitor, and all pastors in Christ, as you have called us into the fellowship of your Son, so sustain us as we wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, in your mercy. Amen. Heavenly Father, preserve and bless all Christian households, that husbands and wives would live in love and service to each other, that fathers and mothers would diligently bring up their children in your fear, and that children would honor their parents and be well equipped for service to their neighbors in this life. Lord, in your mercy. Amen. Almighty God, be with the governing authorities and enable them to preserve peace and order in our nation. Hear our prayers for Donald, our president, Greg, our governor, our military and police and other civil servants, as well as all newly elected officials. Increase a spirit of unity and cooperation among the peoples of our land and the nations of the world. Lord, in your mercy. Compassionate Lord, behold in mercy all who are in danger, trouble, sickness, or need. Hear our prayers for the sick and suffering, especially for Pastor Scott and Judy Stallings, Jeff Schaffner, Robert Galabias, Alfred Durson, Don and Donna Tellner, Nelson Meyer, Gloria Havman, Pat Bias, Jackie Rush, Robert and Donna Knopf, and Wilfred Defoe. Give health to our world and bring the pandemic to an end. Comfort all who mourn and sustain them with a confident hope in the resurrection. Lord, in your mercy. Eternal Lord, as your Son once entered humbly into Jerusalem to cries of Hosanna, so send him to us according to his promise in the Holy Sacrament, that we may eat his body and drink his blood in repentance and faith for the forgiveness of our sins and in the unity of a true confession. Lord, in your mercy. Into your hands, Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, for the countless blessings you so freely bestow on us and all creation. Above all, we give thanks for your boundless love, shown to us when you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh, and laid on him our sin, giving him into death that we might not die eternally. Because he is now risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity, all who believe in him will overcome sin and death and will rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, In your boundless mercy, you sent your servant John the Baptist to proclaim that in Christ the kingdom of heaven draws near. With thankful hearts we pray, come, Lord Jesus, confident that in his body and blood given us to eat and drink, we receive the forgiveness of sins and so proclaim his death until he comes again in glory. Hear us as we pray in his name and as he has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Let us pray. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, you have given us a foretaste of the feast to come in the Holy Supper of your Son's body and blood. Keep us firm in the true faith throughout our days of pilgrimage, that on the day of his coming, we may together with all your saints celebrate the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom which has no end. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Let us bless the Lord. Receive the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.